Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at nashvillepublicradio.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle.
And I'm Peter Sagal. It's always a great week when we can introduce two new people to the news. In England, a new baby with an old-sounding name. And here in America, a mysterious but intriguing-sounding man named Carlos Danger. We don't know much about him except he enjoys high heels and sticking his phone down his pants. We'll unmask him, plus comedian Jim Gaffigan plays our game, and Carl complains about how out of shape he got during his weeks off.
And here's the big but.
We'll ask who really was pointing something obvious out on our quiz right after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. After a week of violent clashes between the military and supporters of ousted Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi, Egypt's interim president has empowered the prime minister to grant the military the authority to arrest civilians. That according to the Associated Press. Dozens have been killed in the clashes in recent days. Preliminary talks to restart the Middle East peace process opened this Tuesday in Washington. And as a concession to Palestinians, Israeli President Benjamin Netanyahu has persuaded his cabinet to free about 100 Palestinian prisoners. On Rio de Janeiro's Copacabana Beach, a reported 3 million gathered to hear Pope Francis celebrate Mass. The Mass brings World Youth Day events to a close. The Pope returns to Rome in the evening. NPR's Lourdes Garcia Navarro has more.
He supported the protesters in Brazil, berated his bishops for losing their flock, walked in one of the poorest slums in Rio, and donned an Indian headdress. In style as well as substance, Pope Francis has shaken up the Catholic Church in his first international outing as pontiff. Millions of people came out to see him, giving him a rock star reception wherever he went. Pope Francis hasn't shied away from controversy or politics. He's addressed difficult issues in unusually frank comments here. On Saturday night, many listening to the Pope had tears in their eyes during Francis's call for them to not be part-time Christians. He added another populist touch. Jesus is bigger than the World Cup, he said, to cheers from the crowd. Lourdes Garcia Navarro, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.
Voters are going to the polls in the West African nation of Mali for the first time since a military takeover in 2012. That coup led to the seizing of northern Mali by Islamist militants and Tuareg separatists who were driven out this year. The BBC's Alex Duval-Smith is in Bamako.
I've just come back from a polling station in Bamako, just near where I live, and I have to say I was bowled over. There are huge amounts of people queuing up in an orderly fashion. People in their 30s and 40s who've never voted before, I think that's telling. In previous elections, turnouts have been very low. Mali's famous for that. The favourites in the election seem to be the candidates who are talking of a new, strong Mali, building up the army, uniting the army, defending the borders, rebuilding. Building sovereignty, all that sort of fighting talk, which is appealing to voters, I think. But yeah, there's a huge job ahead.
The BBC's Alex Duval-Smith. Secretary of State John Kerry's wife has been released from hospital care after almost 3 weeks after suffering a seizure at their Nantucket home. 74-year-old Teresa Hines Kerry rushed to a Boston hospital 3 weeks ago. This is NPR. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew says President Obama will not negotiate with Congress over the debt limit. Lew challenged lawmakers to act on appropriations bills that keep the government running. Twitter UK is considering ways to streamline the procedure for reporting abusive or threatening tweets. This comes after one user in particular found herself subjected to a barrage of Twitter abuse. Larry Miller reports from London. She is the woman who led a successful campaign to put Jane Austen on a British banknote.
In the first 2 days after the new Jane Austen 10-pound banknote was unveiled, Caroline Corrado Perez received threats of rape and sexual violence on Twitter at a rate of 50 an hour. She told the BBC, Twitter's current reporting procedure, which requires a form filled out on each complaint, is too onerous.
What they really need to do is just make it easier to report abuse, because I am by no means the only woman who's been through this.
Her experience has sparked a campaign for Twitter to install a report abuse button on every tweet, which is backed by an online petition that quickly got tens of thousands of signatures. Twitter UK says the company is testing ways to simplify its procedure, including that report abuse button. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
French police report a massive jewelry heist from the Carlton Intercontinental Hotel in Cannes. Thieves appeared to have taken off with $53 million worth of gems. The hotel was hosting a temporary jewelry exhibit when, according to officials, one or more thieves nabbed the jewels in broad daylight around noon in the French Riviera city. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Cancer Treatment Centers of America, proud sponsor of StoryCorps, celebrating American stories and American lives.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thanks, Carol. Thanks, everybody. We've got a great show for you today. Comedian Jim Gaffigan will be on to play our game. That's fun. Carl, what are you doing?
Just finishing up a text.
Are you sure you should be texting during the show?
It's not from me. It's from my alter ego, Jorge Daredevil. And Jorge waits for no man.
Okay, well, while Carl finishes that up, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Gary LaFue from Burlington, North Carolina.
Gary LaFue from Burlington, North Carolina. We're going to North Carolina just next week out in Asheville. We're going to be there. We love it out there. Is that anywhere near you?
No, we're right between Greensboro and Durham. Probably about 2.5-3 hours to
Right. Now, Carl, is that where you're from?
I am from North Carolina, but I'm from down east of that. A town called Goldsboro.
Right.
Know it well.
So I guess what we've learned here is that you guys are sort of blood brothers, and I don't know North Carolina from a hole in the ground. Well, welcome to the show, Gary. Let me introduce you to our panel. First up, it's the comedian with the new CD, I Heart Jokes, Paula Tells Them in Boston. Paula Poundstone is here.
Hey, Gary.
Next, it's a senior editor and columnist for the Houston Chronicle. It's Kyrie O'Connor.
Hello, Gary.
And finally, it's the comedian who'll be performing at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills, California on August 23rd. It's Maz Jobrani is here.
Buenas noches.
Gary, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, we can win our prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to play?
Ready.
Your first quote comes from a woman named, really, Sydney Leathers.
Your healthcare rants were a huge turn-on.
Now, that steamy note was really the only part of a series of exchanges that we could air. And that exchange happened between Ms. Leathers and whom?
Oh, wow. I have no idea.
Really? I'll give you a hint. That was a text that was sent among many that were sent
Anthony
back and forth.
Anthony Weiner!
Anthony Weiner, yes! massive health care rents were such a turn-on, really.
Oh, Gary, we all wish we had no idea.
So anyway, you guys all remember when Anthony Weiner resigned from Congress after we found out he had tweeted pictures of his crotch to young women, not his wife. He was going to get some therapy. Well, guess what he finds therapeutic? So, you know, he ended up, we found out this week, he's been doing it again. He did it as recently as last year, but this time he was going to be careful. Instead of sending sexts from his Twitter account, he used a pseudonym, Carlos Danger. By the way, that's why it took so long for Kate and Will to name the royal baby. Their first choice was Carlos Danger Windsor.
You know, I don't think it would necessarily make him a bad... What does he want to be, mayor? Is that what he wants to be?
He wants to be mayor of New York. He's running for mayor of New York.
If you happen to have this sort of bonanza where you like his policies and his crotch, you get a win-win.
That's true. Well, this is the funny thing. So this is what happened. This time it was this 22-year-old political activist who got in touch with him to complain about his resignation from Congress. This is true. She wrote, "I'm disappointed, you know, that you put your sex life before our shared political priorities." And he says, "Really? What are you wearing right now?"
They should take the cell phone from the guy. That's what he needs to, you know, that's the problem, that he just likes to text a lot.
Do you think that his compulsion is so easy to handle that merely not having a cell phone will stop him?
It might bring the post office back.
Yeah. Did you guys see the press conference? Because, you know, he did this talking about his apparently irrepressible habit of sexting young women in front of a sign that said Wiener. And I know it's his name, but it's also a caption. And he did this with his wife standing right next to him. She stepped to the microphone. And she basically says, you know, he cheated on me, he humiliated me, and I've never been more in love with him than I am right now.
Yeah.
Does she call him Carlos?
No.
I will support Carlos through all the texting.
Gary, here is your next quote.
And here's the big but.
That was not another one of Anthony Weiner's texts.
Right.
It was somebody once again explaining to the American people that our continued economic woes are not his fault. Who is it?
Barack Obama.
Yes, indeed, President Obama. It's like, all right, over here... We have Anthony Weiner getting into trouble with his sexting over there. We have President Obama talking about his plan to get the economy moving again. It's summer reruns. It's happening all over again. It's going to be so hard for the president to get his message through. We're all so used to it. If he really wants to pay attention to his proposals, he should text them to Sidney Leathers.
Well, it seems like some of the sectors are doing well. Stock market's going really well. Facebook just moved up today.
Yeah.
They did, and the stock market and the housing. So the rich are doing really well.
Right. But they hate him. And I don't know why that is.
Because you love people who treat you badly.
Look at the wife of Wiener.
Yeah,
Wiener's
exactly.
Wife. We are like Wiener's wife, and he is our Wiener.
Yeah.
Your last quote, Gary, is the headline from this week's Private Eye magazine in London.
Woman has baby.
That is just a small sample of the media frenzy surrounding what couple and their newborn?
The birth of George with William and Kate.
Exactly right. William and Kate, the royal couple. In a miraculous, superhuman feat, the Duchess of Cambridge, pushed an actual miniature human being out of her own body. Whoa!
Oh, you try it, pal.
Touché. The royal baby, known as either, I think it's George Alexander Lewis, or maybe it's Edward Alexander George, or perhaps Victoria Elgin Marbles Biscuit, Father of Dragons, I cannot tell these people apart, is third in line for succession to the British throne after his grandfather, Prince Charles, and his uncle, the evil lion Scar. Here's the thing about little George, which is that this is not just any little baby. This is going to be the future king of England. I mean, that's his. You can see his life. You know exactly what's going to happen with him. He's going to end up waving, you know, with the back of his hand to the crowd in that weird way they do. And it's like, when is that nature going to manifest itself? His royal, will he say, "Mama, we've wet our diaper"? I mean,
well, you're going to have to wait a long time for that kid to be king.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, you got generations. He's going to be king when he's like 70.
I just can't wait for him to be king.
Carl, how did Gary do in our quiz?
My Tar Heel friend did very well, Peter. 3 correct answers, so Gary, you win our prize.
Well done. Congratulations. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
We want to remind everybody they can join us here most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information, just go to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, which is waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Paula, police in China have a new weapon in the war on crime. Law enforcement agents in one troubled region are now actively promoting the use of what?
Fly swatters.
No. I'll give you a hint. I may be one, punk, but yours is cooked.
Goose? Oh, yeah, they're using geese.
The geese police.
Yes.
Quote, among all poultry, geese are known for being extremely vigilant and having excellent hearing, said one Chinese police chief, explaining his hiring of geese as kind of night watchbirds. This implies they've tried other kinds of poultry as guards. The turkeys look good in the uniform, but kept staring up into the rain and drowning. And the swans are good, but are way too egotistical. They come on like the FBI of crime fighting. The geese, though, are great. They say one thief was caught after he drugged 2 guard dogs, but didn't count on geese squad waiting for him inside the building. Police found the man pooped on to within an inch of his life. Crime is down. Well, guys trying to steal bread is down. Other crimes are pretty much unaffected. And, of course, the real drawback is that every fall, your whole police force migrates south.
They tried ducks, but Daffy had anger control problems. So what specifically are the geese supposed to do?
The geese, apparently, we found out that this is actually something that people have been doing for years. We used them to guard, apparently Americans used them to guard European bases in the 50s, and Roman legions used to use geese. The thing about geese is
geese
make a lot of noise when you walk into their area.
Oh.
So if you put geese out in your yard, say, and just leave them there, and somebody walks in, they'll make a huge squawking noise.
Oh.
That's what they're good for. And they might even chase the guy, because you know what geese are like.
It's like an alarm.
Yeah.
Why don't they just get an alarm? Just put an alarm.
Yeah, good point, yeah. And if they want to make it more geese-like, the alarm could occasionally poop.
Yeah, that's true. Coming up, our panelists destroy your childhood. It's our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Ally Bank, who believes in getting more from your news and your money, offering money market accounts. Learn more at allybank.com. Kobo, with e-readers and more than 3.5 million e-book, newspaper, and magazine titles. At independent bookstores, indiebound.org. Angie's List, providing reviews of local roofers, painters, landscapers, and plumbers to keep the consumer informed. More at angieslist.com. And to the National Association of Realtors and Advocate for Homeownership, more at houselogic.com/homeownership. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR. We'll be right back.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Maz Jobrani, Kerry O'Connor, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you. It is time once again for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Anna Scott.
Hi, Anna. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Oakland, California.
Oh, Oakland. Oakland is a town I like. Oaktown, what do you do there?
I am a leadership development coach.
Really? So can you give me, like, some quick tips on how to be a good leader in case I'm ever asked?
Yeah, it's not good to make the other person wrong. Just doesn't work.
Make the other person wrong.
Don't do that. Just
right.
Don't.
So
what if they are wrong?
Well, then do it nicely. Mm-hmm. Do it in a very positive way, how you can help them grow and see what becomes self-aware.
Mm-hmm. You're the best dumb person I know.
Exactly. Well, Anna, welcome to the show. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Anna's topic?
Back in my day,
being a kid just isn't what it used to be. What with all the new electronic toys and screens and the way that kids play changing. Well, our panelists are going to read you three stories of someone taking something sacred from childhood and just ruining it. Guess the true story. You will win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail, whatever you got there in Oakland. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. First, let's hear from Maz Jobrani.
Recently, Marvin Kesselman put his 2-year-old boy on a slide in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and watched in horror as the toddler got launched like a projectile, rising 4 feet off the ground before landing on his rear end. Fortunately, the boy had his diaper on, so he wasn't hurt. But Kesselman, who happens to be an engineer, realized something had to be done. So he set out to invent a spray for slides to decelerate the babies as they go down. What Kesselman did not intend was to make a product so good that now the babies don't go down at all. Maria Gomez, whose baby plays at the same park, complained, "My baby doesn't like the slide anymore because it doesn't work. All she does is sit, get up, sit, get up, sit. That is not a slide." Reached for comment, Mr. Kesselman admits that he might have added too much adhesive to his compound. "I've just got to find the right mix so these kids don't get hurt. If Mr. Kesselman can find the right mix, he stands to make millions of dollars, as it seems there have been a spate of babies flying off slides in the past few months. Just this spring, a 3-year-old girl in Las Vegas, Nevada, flew so far off a slide that she ended up at the entrance of the Luxor Hotel, where her parents found her and took her to an all-you-can-eat buffet."
So Maz tells the story of an engineer making sure the slides don't slide. The next story of the modern age crashing into your past comes from Paula Poundstone.
Many a fine doctor or nurse got their inspiration from the toy doctor kit, complete with black bag, that they unwrapped joyfully on an early birthday or holiday. It included a fake syringe that the pretend doctor sadistically found several medical necessities per visit for the mock injection of their younger sibling patient. Now, Truthful Toys, a subsidiary of Suamu Industries, has updated the doctor's kit. The colorful plastic kit of old gives kids a misleading notion of what to expect at a doctor's visit, which can cause it to be an even more traumatic experience. Kids and families are responding very well to our new realistic kit. Kids love having their pretend patients fill out the forms and electronically sign contracts they couldn't possibly understand. Plus, if the patient registers on our website, they can receive phone calls denying coverage of certain procedures and threatening bill collector calls that can interrupt nap time from a pretend call center. The kit includes an accurate timer and a Disney princess decal that the child can stick on the wall and stare at to create their very own waiting room experience.
A realistic toy doctor kit, complete with insurance forms. And your last story of a childhood treasure being trampled comes from Kerry O'Connor.
Let's just call this the moment childhood died. A former executive with the toy company Hasbro and his toy expert wife have come out with a line called the Real Tooth Fairies, not to be confused with the Real Housewives, whom they closely resemble, alas.
With their big hair, heavy makeup, and Miss USA-style gowns, they look as if they'd be more at home collecting cash off a 45-year-old's dresser than putting it under an 8-year-old's pillow. There's only one way this can be stopped, and only one being who can do it. Actual true Tooth Fairy, we're counting on you.
All right, let's review your choices. From Maz Jobrani, a safety spray that makes sure your kids can't slide down the slide. From Paula Poundstone, a realistic toy doctor kit with all the ennui and misery of going to the real doctor. And from Kiri O'Connor, the real Tooth Fairies. The Tooth Fairy has been sexed up and commercialized. Which of these is the real story about a childhood treasure being destroyed?
Well, I love Paula's, and I would love to go with it, but I think I'm going to go with Maz's.
You think you're going to go with Maz's of the spray that keeps the kids from sliding down the slide? There are some killjoys in the room who enjoy that story, apparently. Okay, well, to bring you the correct answer, we spoke to someone intimately involved in the real story.
The real Tooth Fairies love to brush with glowy toothpaste. An official Real Tooth Fairies toothbrush. It's magical fun.
That was Twinkle, one of the real Tooth Fairies, encouraging you to brush twice a day, but only with an official Real Tooth Fairy brand toothbrush.
I would rather have my kids' teeth rot out of their head.
All right. So let me try this the new enlightened way. Anna, you did great. You expressed such creativity and such faith, and I really admire what you did here by choosing Maz's story, even though it wasn't actually truthful. The real story was obviously the one from Kiri, so you did not win. However, you did do a great job earning a point for Maz for creating his realistic story about the slide sticky spray. So congratulations.
Thank you. You're a great lawyer.
How was that? Did I do a good job? Thank you. Thank you for playing, Anna. Bye-bye. And now the game you only get to play if you've already won the game of life. Jim Gaffigan is not somebody you might expect to be one of the most famous, successful, beloved comedians working today. For one thing, he's the happily married father of five little kids who he often tours with. You have to understand that by comedy standards, that makes him a freak. Jim Gaffigan, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, this is true that, you know, I think of comedians, not present company accepted, of course, Paula and Maz, as being people who are sort of tormented and have difficult lives, and that's where they get their comedy. But you've been happily married for many years, and you have five small kids?
Yes. I mean, well, I should clarify that anyone that goes on stage and makes strangers laugh is insane.
Yeah.
So I am insane. But, yeah, I mean, I would say that I'm a crazy man who's very lucky. You know, I am happily married to a Shiite Catholic, so there is no... I haven't talked to her in 10 minutes. She might be pregnant again.
Really? You never know with her. And I heard that you live with these five kids and your wife, of course, in a two-bedroom apartment in Lower Manhattan?
Yes. It's also a five-story walk-up. But I should say that we're not trying to prove anything. It's not like, I'm going to raise my kids in a box. That's not the point. I mean, we started looking after our third kid, but you can't really turn to someone who's 8 months pregnant and say, all right, let's start packing up some of the plates. You have to... My wife has been pregnant the past, you know, 8 years, so...
hey, Jim, do you yet know what causes that?
The stork just keeps hanging around.
Now, you have a new book called Your Dad... No, it's called Dad is Fat?
Yes.
And where does that title come from?
Dad is Fat was the first sentence that my now 7-year-old son wrote on a dry erase board when he was about 4 or 5, and he showed it to me, and I laughed, and then I put him up for adoption.
Yeah. Used to have six. And is this a book about parenting? Is this a book about being a dad?
Yeah, it's about parenting. You know, I mean, I was someone who 10 years ago, or 12 years ago, really couldn't even get a date. And it's, you know, I love my kids. I have no idea what I'm doing. I kind of set out, you know, I wrote it with my wife that we didn't want to do a book that was, I hate my kids, or we didn't want to do a book that was, I worship my kids. So it's more or less I have no idea what I'm doing.
Right. So you write jokes with your wife? That probably puts, that probably sort of keeps you from doing a lot of the classic, well, let me tell you about my wife jokes.
Yeah, well, no, there's definitely, I mean, she's editing, but there is also, I mean, it's a very unique, you know, relationship that we have. And
where did you guys meet, Jim?
I bought her from Russia. We met in our neighborhood in New York City, and she would come to my shows, and she would provide suggestions, and I would be like, that's interesting. No, but then eventually the ideas were great, and I was using most of them, and now we write everything.
I still don't see how you met. You said she was in the neighborhood. Where? Where did you first lay eyes on? Where specifically?
What do you need footage?
Yeah.
We met, actually. It's called Eden Farms. It's a Korean deli on Prince Street in New York City. The
nice.
Zip code is 10012.
Okay.
All right.
No.
I think so. You're looking for a co-writer. Is
that
what you're
looking
for?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. She's going to the deli.
Fine. We've beaten around the bush enough. It's time to talk to Mr. Gaffigan about Hot Pockets. Because, as everyone knows, you went from successful to very successful when you started your routine about Hot Pockets, the delicious frozen entree. First of all, I mean, how in the world did you start with that? Where did that come from? You're eating a Hot Pocket one day and you...
I think it's very lucky. First of all, the whole Hot Pocket thing is kind of a blessing and a curse, right?
Right.
It's made it so I can perform in theaters and people have been exposed to my comedy, but I certainly don't need more drunk college kids yelling Hot Pocket at me.
Really? So you mean, because people, you need to see this routine. It's hilarious. It's extended. And so people like come out and like you're walking through a college campus and doing a show and and they come out and they go, Hot Pockets!
Yeah, no, I'll be walking with my kids down the street or in an airport, and people will yell Hot Pockets, and I never know how to respond.
Like, is that how you met your wife?
The irony, Paula, is she was dressed as a Hot Pocket.
Do your kids know why people are calling you Hot Pocket?
They, you know, my kids have actually never eaten a Hot Pocket. That's the irony, but... They know about the Hot Pocket thing because it's pretty unavoidable that after about 10 times, my son's like, why do they keep saying Hot Pocket?
Plus,
I said, don't ask. That's how we're paying for college.
Yeah. One last question for you. You're known for being rather pale, right?
Yeah.
This is one of your things.
Yeah.
And this came up. We were talking about this today, and one of our producers says, well, I'm very pale. I wonder if he glows in the dark. And we're like, do you glow in the dark? And she's like, yeah, I do, you know. I glow in the dark, I'm pale. And so the question for you, Jim Gaffigan, is do you glow in the dark?
Gosh, I suppose I do. I mean, I never really thought about it like that. That's like the first time, you know, because I grew up this kid very, you know, like, hated the fact that I was pale. And then, you know, it ended up being part of stand-up, and I came up with this thing with my brother-in-law, called Pale Force, where all these pale people are like, oh, finally someone's talking about being pale. But, you know, I'm definitely hesitant wearing shorts during the summer. Like, for a pale person, you know, summer, everyone in the world is so excited for summer, but pale people were just like, oh, no. Great.
Really? Not being particularly pale, I did not know that pale shame was a thing.
Oh, yeah. It's also hard to articulate, because you can't have pale pride because the Germans kind of messed that up.
That's true. Well, Jim Gaffigan, we're delighted to have you here, and we have asked you here. It's true. And we've asked you to play a game we're calling
Gaffigan Meet Gwyneth Again.
All right.
It occurred to us you have many things in common with Gwyneth Paltrow.
She's pale.
You're both, well, exactly. Yeah. You're both very pale, very attractive, successful entertainers, but you have different health habits. So we're going to ask you three questions about living life the pure Gwyneth way.
Okay.
Get two questions right. You'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in their voicemail. Carl, who is Jim Gaffigan playing for?
Jim is playing for Amy Larson of Hillsboro, Oregon.
All right. Ready to play, Jim?
Oh, I hate that lady.
Oh.
Her?
No, she's great.
She's awesome. It's all in the past now.
Yeah.
Here's your first question. Gwyneth Paltrow believes that she is qualified to be a self-actualization guru. Well, why? A, quote, well, I'm perfect, right? What more evidence do you need, unquote? B, people have been asking her for advice since she was, as she says, in the womb. Or C, she was told so by the rocks at Red Rocks in Colorado.
Oh, hold on a second. I have to throw up. Wow. Jeez. I would say it's the Red Rocks.
You're right, Jim. It is the Red Rocks. Gwyneth says... Gwyneth says, quote, I was starting to hike up the Red Rocks, and honestly, it was as if I heard the rocks say, you have the answers. You are your own teacher.
You know what?
She's ours. What,
they said,
Paula?
Something entirely different to me.
So Gwyneth has published a book, a diet plan, and writer Rebecca Harrington tried it earlier this year. She's going to eat like Gwyneth every day. And on day 10, she reported, A, that Gwyneth's daily air snacks were not very filling. B, that she had gotten really defined arms from, quote, having hysterical fits every day. Or C, quote, day 10, so cold, so alone. May not survive, someone send barbecue.
Wow, I would say the second one with the great arms.
The great arms from having hysterical fits.
Yeah.
You're right. That's what she said.
Wow, good for you.
Apparently, Gwyneth's diet sends you into anxiety. That's how Gwyneth gets her gun. So here's your last question. Gwyneth got her gun. last question. Even Gwyneth isn't perfect. Just kidding, she is. But when asked what her problem areas are, she answered, quote, what? A, my butt. B, I feel with a little work, I could be even whiter. Or C, I did marry a guy from Coldplay.
Isn't her, you know, her kid's uncle is Uncle Jay-Z, so I would say it's the whiter thing.
She feels with a little work she could be even whiter?
Yeah.
I love the fact you picked that. Yeah. So I'm not going to talk you out of it, but in fact it was A, my butt. There you are.
Oh my God.
That's what she thinks. Carl, how did Jim Gaffigan do in our quiz?
Well, Jim had two correct answers, Peter, and that's good enough to win for Amy Larson.
Well done. Yeah.
Did it, man.
Jim Gaffigan is coming to a city near you. For tour dates, go to jimgaffigan.com. His latest book is Dad is Fat. Jim Gaffigan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jim.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Pimsleur Language Program, celebrating 50 years of teaching foreign languages. 50 languages are available at Pimsleur.com. CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. Esurance, an Allstate company, offering online and mobile car insurance tools to guide customers from quote to claim. More at Esurance.com. And Carbonite, providing automatic cloud backup to keep photos, music, and other files safe from computer mishaps. Details at Carbonite.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Kiri O'Connor, Paula Poundstone, and Maz Jobrani. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Carl, just a minute. just 1 minute, Carl, will penalize Ryman Brown for taking limerick-enhancing drugs. Yeah, I know. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, though, some more questions for you from the week's news. Kiri, there are a lot of apps that let you order food from restaurants, but a new app allows you to order and enjoy what?
I think I'll need some tiny hint.
Oh, it's like, ooh, I hope the Harris's next door are having casserole tonight.
Oh, wow.
You get to order.
I want you to answer the question, but after you've done that, I want to find out what Paula was just thinking.
You get to order your neighbor's food?
You get to order your neighbor's leftovers.
Leftovers.
Yes.
What?
I would love that.
Well, sure, you know.
I mean, I don't want to eat my neighbor's leftover, but I would kill for them to eat mine. I just, sometimes I honestly think to myself while I'm doing the dishes at night, because I don't mind washing the dishes, but I hate looking for the lids to the Tupperware. I hate putting, I don't know if it's my OCD, I just, that part of it, I hate. And I often think to myself, you know, if the world's going to end anyways, why not tonight?
You'd rather have the apocalypse than find the lid to the Tupperware.
Well, it's just easier.
All right. Say hello to Leftover Swap. This new app allows you to take pictures of the leftovers in your fridge, post it for your neighbors to see, and name a fair price. Granted, given the state of most leftovers, we're going to assume the standard price is probably your life. The inspiration for Leftover Swap came when a freegan surfer crashed on one of the designer's couches. For those who don't know, a freegan is someone who survives on food from other people's garbage, or as they're more commonly known, raccoons.
I'm not sure anybody wants what's in my refrigerator. You know? But I just harvested.
You harvested what?
I have a garden, but you know, I've never been a very good gardener. So my harvest is often slim. I harvested a green bell pepper that stands about an inch high.
That's
and
nice.
And one cherry tomato.
That's nice.
Yes, and then we had the harvest festival.
Did you dance around the maypole? How nice.
I did, now that you mention it.
Maz, the war between new parents and normal people have been escalating. They've got their strollers, they show up at the bar with their baby. They've taken it to the next level. Parents have been seen bringing what to restaurants?
So they've been taking the strollers to the thing, and now they're bringing their babies to the restaurant.
Right, we know this. They've been doing this for years.
Yeah, now they're bringing the crib.
Exactly right. In Brooklyn the other day, a pair of young parents was seen bringing their baby in a rolling crib down the sidewalk, parking it next to an outdoor table, and having their brunch.
How big is this baby? Can't they just put him in a crib?
Well,
I mean, in a stroller?
Well, but apparently they wanted to give it some room to play.
What a lazy baby.
I know.
Makes all the sense to me.
Yeah.
Baby's got to come out of the crib. There's going to be things we got to do in life that's going to be outside the crib, baby.
Right. Yeah. So you'd be you take your 18-month and sold. You, go get some pizza. Here's 20 bucks. Bring it back.
My parents bought a Winnebago once, and they used to pull up places and eat.
Really?
It's sort of the same idea, really.
Yeah,
it's bigger.
I just said, baby, there's a whole world to see outside this crib, baby. We got to do this, baby. We got to go. We're going to go to a restaurant. We're going to go to a field. You're going to be on grass. Come on, baby. Get out, baby.
Yeah.
Man, you are like a motivational speaker for babies.
I want that baby out of that crib.
One of the spokes in the obesity epidemic wheel are, you know, parents who leave their kid, really out of convenience, I'm sure, in the stroller for far too long. And I've seen that. You know, I've seen, huge children.
Yeah, 30, 40 years old.
Strapped in. It's more like a rickshaw feeling to it than... Yeah, and it's, you know, it's really easier for the parent because you don't have to wait while they dally and things like that. So you just, you know, so you just get them. You pick them up at high school and go, get in. Just get in.
Yeah.
And now we've got the Segway, so you go from stroller to Segway,
and then to a wheelchair, and
you die. That's
well,
it.
You know, I'll tell you something. I have often, you know, nowadays, I remember my youngest is now 15, but I remember when he was a baby and we had the snuggly thing, which would take me easily an hour to get that damn thing on. They make them different now. Now they have the car seat that you pull out and it clicks. You don't have to take the kid out of the car seat to put in the stroller. It clicks onto the stroller. And then at night, there's a thing, these suction cups, where you can stick it on the side of the refrigerator. You use your app to get your neighbor's leftovers. It's possible to go a whole couple of weeks without actually touching your kid. That's great.
You know, it wasn't always that easy.
No, I mean, it wasn't always that easy.
I had kids so long ago that weren't even strollers. You just kind of dragged the kid down the street.
Yeah. Yeah, there were wheels you could attach directly to the baby back then.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you would like to play our games on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT, that's 1-888-924-8924, or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There, you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, and tickets for our September show in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, go on sale Monday. And be sure to check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Mike and Ian tell you how to move something enormous under the cover of darkness. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Dennis Landon in St. Louis.
What do you do there in St. Louis?
I'm a minister. I'm a denominational executive.
A denominational executive?
Well, it's a euphemism for bureaucrat.
Oh, I see. Do you enforce church discipline?
No, actually, I work with higher education and leader development, so I get to spend lots of time with very bright and talented young people.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it is great.
Well, welcome to the show, Dennis. It's nice
Thank you.
Have you. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a winner. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
Here is your first limerick.
Traffic needs balance like Libras, but everyone's selfish as divas. We hope scofflaw types will heed horses and stripes. Our crossing guards dress up as...
zebras.
Yes, zebras. Bolivia, the country of Bolivia, has a bold new plan to get crazy drivers to slow down in the city of La Paz. Traffic zebras. That's people in zebra costumes standing in the middle of the road waving at cars to stop. Early reports say they've been successful in stopping all drivers except that one guy who was driving a lion.
And if they get past the zebras, the geese go after them.
Yeah. Here's your next limerick.
My phone may smell odd, I agree, but its fuel source is close by and free. Make my drink extra large. I need batteries charged, and they're getting their juice from my...
I'm going to go with tree.
Are you going to intentionally get this one wrong for religious reasons?
No, if it's P, I'm in.
All right, it's P, yes. Okay. Bristol Robotics Laboratory in England has a new cell phone powered entirely by urine. I mean, if we're using it while we're in the bathroom, might as well get something out of it, right? The prototype has successfully been used to text message and surf the internet and is a great multitasking tool if you're Anthony Weiner.
How does it work, Peter?
Apparently it uses the electrolytes in urine to somehow generate electricity.
You just pee on your phone?
No, you don't. Don't try this at home, kids. Here's your last limerick.
Our Monopoly game has gone stale because it moves at the pace of a snail. The kids don't have time to pay for their crimes, so we remade the game without...
jail.
Yes! To suit today's busy kids, Hasbro has released a new version of Monopoly, which reportedly... omits the jail. They say the game can now be completed in under 30 minutes, freeing families from the obligation of spending too much time together. The bad news is, with the closing of jail, all the criminals have been let loose. The murder rate in Marvin Gardens is through the roof. Carl, how did Dennis do in our quiz?
Dennis had three correct answers, Peter, so Dennis, you win our prize.
Well done, Dennis.
Nice, Dennis.
Thank you for playing.
Thank you very much.
Dennis was on fire.
Warden threw a party in the county jail. The prison band was there, they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock.
Now for our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Maz Jobrani and Kerry O'Connor, they both have 2 points each, but Paula Poundstone has the lead with 3 points.
All right. We flipped a coin. Kerry has elected to go second, so Maz, you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Wednesday, the House defeated an amendment that would have restricted the collection of phone records by the blank.
The NSA.
Yes. Experts said this week that because of Edward Snowden, relations between the U.S. and blank are at the lowest point since the end of the Cold War, right? The day after Wellington, New Zealand was hit with a 6.8 magnitude earthquake, the weather forecast in the local paper read blank.
I don't know.
Who cares, so long as the ground stays still? Milwaukee Brewer Ryan Braun was suspended for the remainder of the season for violating Major League Baseball's blanking policy.
Drug.
Right. After being refused service in a McDonald's drive-thru while on horseback, a woman was fined for blanking.
Having her horse poop on the parking lot?
You're so close, I'll give it to you. For taking the horse into the McDonald's. So she rides the horse up to the drive-thru. They say, we're not going to serve a horse at the drive-thru. She says, I understand that. That's strange. That's fine. I'm a little high. Can't reach the window. So she rides the horse into the McDonald's.
Wow.
And it does what all of us do in a McDonald's. It relieves itself on the floor. McDonald's employees reacted calmly, saying they have experience dealing with horses after years of making McRibs. Carl, how did Maz do?
Maz had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points, and Maz has taken the lead.
Very well done, Maz. All right. Carrie, you're up next. Please fill in the blank. Investigators are working to determine what caused a deadly train derailment Wednesday in blank.
Spain.
Right. Federal prosecutors filed insider trading charges this week against SAC Capital, one of the country's largest blanks.
Hedge funds.
Right. Questions about drilling safety arose once again this week after the explosion of a gas well in the blank.
Gulf of Mexico.
Right. Massive crowds turned out to see Pope Francis during his visit this week in blank.
Brazil.
Right. After a journalist made a Freedom of Information Act request for NSA emails, he was told he couldn't have them because the NSA does not blank.
Doesn't know how to search for them.
Exactly right. Best known for his roles in TV's Law and Order and the movie Get Shorty, actor blank died this week at age 69.
Dennis Farina.
Right. To explain why he posted a half-naked photo of himself on Twitter, TV personality blank said tequila was to blame.
Oh, this just disturbed me. Geraldo Rivera.
Indeed, Geraldo Rivera, an Ohio man who returned a book to the library 41 years late, said it took so long to return because blank.
He had to finish it.
Yes, he's a really slow reader.
Wow. That was great, Gary.
Yeah.
That was really impressive. The man checked the real book about snakes out of the Champaign County Library.
That's a slow read.
In July 1972. He's been engrossed in it ever since. Yeah. In the note, the man explained, sorry, I've kept this book so long, but I'm a really slow reader. I enclosed my fine of $300. The library director said he appreciates having the book back, but admits he did have misgivings about allowing the man to check out a new book, War and Peace. Carl, how did Kiri do in our quiz?
Kiri had 8 correct answers for 16 more points. She now has 18 points and the lead.
Well done.
Yes.
I always love to ask this question. How many, then, does Paula need to win?
8 to win out.
Oh, my gosh, geez. Paula.
Yeah.
We have to run the table here. Here we go, Paula.
Okay.
A federal judge in Michigan swept aside lawsuits that threatened the bankruptcy proceedings for the city of blank.
Detroit.
Right. On Monday, officials said the U.S. will proceed with plans to arm the rebels in blank.
Syria.
Yes. The NTSB is launching an investigation to determine why the nose gear of a Southwest plane collapsed during a landing at blank.
New York.
Yeah, LaGuardia Airport. Yes, according to a study released this week, skipping blank increases your chances of a heart attack.
Lunch.
No, breakfast. A Dutch coffee company has released a vending machine with facial recognition software that blanks.
Makes your coffee the way you like it.
No, it dispenses free coffee if it sees you yawn. At a performance in Canada this week, Beyoncé kept singing even though her hair had blanked.
Caught on fire.
No. Gotten sucked into a fan.
Oh, yeah.
Taco Bell shocked parents this week with its decision to stop selling special blank meals.
Happy meals?
Yeah, basically kid meals. Yeah. A Canadian man caused an international incident involving U.S. and Canadian Coast Guards this week when he blanked.
When he ran naked across the border.
No, when he drank 8 beers and swam across the Detroit River into Michigan just to prove he could. It did not impress the Canadian or U.S. Coast Guard, but After 8 beers, John Murillo didn't care. He said, quote, I got in trouble and everything. I got to pay fines and stuff. But I don't want it to sound like I didn't make it. Because then my buddies are going to say, ah, you didn't make it. Because that was the whole thing. To show them I could do it.
I'm on his side.
I am too. How can you hear that from him and not feel sympathy and admiration for
Absolutely.
That man?
Absolutely. You know, Peter, there were so many things I knew this week, and you did
really?
Not ask me one.
Well, just before I ask Carl, for your score, why don't you share something you knew this week?
Mosquitoes.
Yes.
Are attracted to dirty feet.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll wash my feet.
Recent discovery.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Paula. Carl, how did Paula do on her quiz? Did she do well enough to win?
No, Peter, she did not. She had just 4 correct answers for 11 points. So with 18 points, Kerry O'Connor Woo-hoo! Is this week's champion.
Well done, Kerry. Done like a boss.
That was impressive.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was unbeatable. Couldn't be done.
You couldn't do it.
Could not be done.
You shouldn't have even done it.
No, it was
You should have just passed.
I should have just passed. It was discouraging from the very beginning.
It was. In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists to predict what will be the royal baby's first words. But first, let me tell you, the support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at HouseLogic.com/homeownership. Angie's List, providing reviews of local roofers, painters, landscapers, and plumbers to keep the consumer informed. More at AngiesList.com. Progressive, offering policyholders the option to bundle home and auto insurance coverage. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. And Lumber Liquidators, supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR. Information is at LumberLiquidators.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago, in association with the Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks, our house manager is Don Hall, our assistant house manager is Tyler Green, our intern is Miles Dernboss, our web guru is Beth Novi, engineers include Les Pilarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank, BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Our CFO is Andy N. Technical direction is from Lorna White, our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse, our senior producer is Ian Chillag, and the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will be George Alexander Lewis's first words? Maz Jobrani.
Why is great-grandmother always wearing yellow suits? Is she a pimp?
Kerry O'Connor.
I didn't say I wanted to be a prince. I said I wanted to be prince.
And Paula Poundstone.
From this day forth, I should like to be referred to as the infant formerly known as Prince.
Well, if the royal baby says any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Maz Jobrani, Kerry O'Connor, and Paula Poundstone. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week in Asheville, North Carolina. Is NPR.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 12 o'clock.